In the room itself, the lights had to be turned on even during the day. The yellow from the bulbs penetrated their furniture and curtains so as to bring out every inch of ugliness. Only old people moved about in the other rooms of the three-story house, and when they hawked up mucus into the sinks, the sounds carried through the thin walls. Ancient men urinated in the bathroom down the hall, leaving the door open, leaning on their canes. Often they were sick in the night, and those noises carried too. Surely if Paul had a rich uncle and that uncle had died, leaving him a fortune, he would have quit on the spot and moved the two of them back to Ann Arbor, where he had left two-term papers half-written. But since no such uncle was alive even to expire, since even his possessionless father had dispossessed him, he accepted his fate and seemed to derive from it a feeling of resiliency. If such lousy circumstances as these couldn't humble him, what could? Levy awakened him. Mr. Levy never smiled, but was very friendly. It was only out of Libby's softness for all those with canes and crutches that he had become an acquaintance of theirs. Paul had to admit that being able to say hello to somebody in the corridors did make the place less depressing. However, Levy, sunburned, bald, hawk-nosed, did not strike Paul as someone to particularly feel sorry for. He was too peppy, and furthermore, they suspected that he tried to peek at Libby in the toilet. Now Levy's face was in the doorway. "How come you're home? I thought something was up."
"Oh, I cut my hand. They gave me the afternoon off."
"Whew, what a cut," said Levy, advancing. "You got a bandage like a mummy."
"Oh, I'm all right."